السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حضرة مفتي عبد القادر صاحب دامت بركاته، أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to you on this beautiful Tuesday morning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and Apa afiat and good health, and Allah ta'ala accept all your khidmats for deen. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, the platform is yours.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum ma'ana Salim Kareem. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan, Brother Dawood Monley. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 12th of Shaban Mubarak 1446, and with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, today we focus on chapter 43, Surah Zukhruf, the chapter on gold shining and, you know, glittering, and verses number 19, 20 and 21. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is rebuking, condemning and criticizing those people who commit shirk, polytheism, who ascribe certain partners to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So Almighty Allah poses these questions to them. Chapter 43, verse 19. وَجَعَلُوا الْمَلَائِكَةَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ إِنَاثًا. So what have they done? These mushrikeen, polytheist idol worshippers, used to say that the angels are the daughters of Almighty Allah. Allah forbid, aliyazu billah. So Almighty Allah poses the question, وَجَعَلُوا الْمَلَائِكَةَ الَّذِينَ, and they have made the angels, malaika, the plural of malak. So they have made the angels, that is, they themselves, these angels, malaikata al-ladhin, they themselves, hum ibadur rahman, they are the servants and the slaves of Rahman, of Almighty Allah. They worship Almighty Allah alone. But these people went to say that they are the daughters of Almighty Allah, in Asa, that they are the daughters. So Almighty Allah poses this rhetorical question, Ashahidu khalqahum, what? You see the Hamza there, the Alif, is Hamza Inkar. Were they present there, khalqahum, when Almighty Allah created the angels? Obviously they were not present there. So how can they make such statements and so forth of blasphemy and kufr? So took tabu shahadatuhum, and their testimony and evidence has been recorded. وَيُسْأَلُونَ, and they will be questioned about all this on the day of justice. Then on that day, the same mushrikeen and polytheists will say, initially, وَاللَّهِ رَبِّنَا مَا كُنَّا مُشْرِكِينَ. They will take big oaths and qasam in the name of Almighty Allah. We never ever committed polytheism, shirk, and ascribed and associated partners to Almighty Allah. So that will be their claim initially. Almighty Allah will seal their mouths and their limbs will speak, as enshrined in Surah Yasin, chapter number 36. Al-yawma nakhtimu ala afwaihim wa tukallimuna aydihim wa tashhadu arjuluhum bima kanu yaksibun. And Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will seal their mouths and their hands will speak. Their feet will bear testimony against them, and because what they have done here on this earth. Chapter 36 and verse 63. 65. And then in Surah chapter 99, Almighty Allah speaks about what will unfold and occur on the Day of Justice. وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. That this human being will see the convulsions and how the land and sand will expose and remove everything, and all the people will be now there and there, standing up and standing ready for the reckoning and accountability. That human being who is the last few ones to stay alive before their death will say, what is happening? يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَالَهَا. The land and the sand will speak and bear testimony. This is what you did, the kufr you committed, the blasphemy, and the shirk and the idol worship, and the nifaq and the hypocrisy. So everything will come to the fore, and then people will know now the evidence is overwhelming. We cannot lie on this day. Yes, in this world they'll get away with impunity. Go read chapter 99, Surah Zilzal, and the first 5-6 verses, and you will find what will happen on that day. Then the angels will come with a book of deeds. This is the what day you committed that crime and this crime. When all this evidence is there, and they will be asked, are you guilty or not? He'll say, guilty. Any mitigating circumstances? No. Do you deserve to go to Jahannam and the hellfire, eternal doom and gloom? They'll say, yes. So we, the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the main group of the Muslims and the major Muslims of the world, believe when a person enters paradise and Jannah, then it is rahmatan wa fadlan min Allahi jalla wala, the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah jalla wala. And when a person enters Jahannam, Allah forbid, the hellfire, it is adlan min Allah, the justice system of Almighty Allah. So that is what is meant here. وَقَالُوا. But human being always looking for excuses. Today you see the gay brigade, the homosexuals, that they will say, no, God created us like this. They go and park their rifle in all the wrong places, and then they want to apportion the blame to Almighty Allah, Allah forbid. So therefore, in Islam, for those who are gays and they are consenting adults, is the death penalty, to make them a sample, an example for humanity and posterity. Open Bulughul Maram, Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmed, Uqtulul Fa'il wal Maf'ul. Both parties must be killed, liquidated, and the death penalty. Waqalu. So these mushrikeen idol worshippers will say, Law Shah Ar-Rahman. If Rahman, Allah, the very gracious one, if he decreed, Ma Abadnahum, we would not have worshipped them, worship the idols. So that's why Almighty Allah gave you freedom of choice. You could follow the path of Rahman, the path which Almighty Allah chalked out for you and gave you the constitution and the practical example, the teaching, preaching of Habibuna Mustafa, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So no human being's excuses will be accepted. On that day, they can blame whoever they want to. مَا لَهُمْ بِذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عِلْمٍ. They have no right to make these statements because there's no justification for it. There's no knowledge. مَنْ اِدَّعَى شَيْئًا فَعَلَيْهِ الدَّلِيلِ. When you make a claim, you have to corroborate, substantiate it with proof and evidence. So they don't have any proof. مِنْ عِلْمٍ. So no knowledge at all, no proof at all. إِنْ هُمْ إِلَّا يَخْرُسُونَ. They are only lying and fabricating and making hasbara and propaganda, just like the jutlas, haramis, murderers. Am ataynahum kitabam min qablihi. Oh, what have we? Almighty Allah uses the term we to stamp His Majesty, authority, sovereignty. Only we can do that. Who can send prophets and messengers selected by Almighty Allah exclusively, not elected by people? When you have elections, you have idiots and fools running the country. So you can just see America, Europe, and many other countries. So kitabam min qablihi. So now were they given any book constitution before it, so that before Quran Sharif, before Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَهُمْ بِهِ مُسْتَمْسِكُونَ, and now they can say they're holding on to that book and that constitution very, very strongly and firmly. So obviously the answer to all this question is no, no, no. So therefore, no person will have any excuses on that day. Almighty Allah address us, the people of Iman and Faith, 89 different places. Allah sabil al-ikram wa takreem, to elevate us and honor us more and more. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ay Iman walo, O you who believe, O you who attain faith, 89 different places, to motivate and inspire us. But for these people, you must remember the non-Muslims, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala address them only one place, once, and that also to humiliate and disgrace them. Chapter 66 and verse number 7, Surah Tahrim, chapter 66 verse 7, Almighty Allah addresses all of them, the Jews, the Christians, the Hindus, the Buddhas, the atheists, whoever it is, any ism, Zionists and communists and socialists besides Islam. So Almighty Allah addresses them. Ya ayyuhalladhina kafaru, O you non-Muslim, once only to humiliate and disgrace them. And this announcement will be made again on the day of justice. La ta'tadhirul yawm, today the day of justice, the day of judgment, the day of reckoning. Do not cite any excuses. Innama tujuzawna ma kuntum ta'malun, you will be punished according to your deeds and your actions. So imagine how Almighty Allah is humiliating them. Therefore, you know, tomorrow, Wednesday, is sunnah to fast. Thursday, sunnah to fast. Friday, sunnah to fast. So mashallah, Allah give us, you know, that stamina, energy, and that ability, capability, that we fulfill the sunnah and nabawiyah. In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, if you really love Almighty Allah Jalla wala, fattabi'uni, follow me, Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yuhbibkumullah, you become the beloved of Almighty Allah Jalla wala, wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, and your sins will be forgiven. Chapter 3 verse 31, that's one issue. Second issue, you can't manage all three, then fast Thursday, Friday. You can't manage two, then fast on Friday only. Question, why would Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fast excessively during this month of Sha'ban? The answer is in the hadith mentioned in Sunan Nasai, Uhibbu ay yurfa'a amali wa ana sa'imun, I want my actions for the entire year must be raised to Almighty Allah Jalla wala whilst I'm fasting. So subhanallah, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, is, will always be the most beloved, the most precious to Almighty Allah Jalla wala, ma'soom, protected from all vices and sins. Mistake can happen, mistake happen in salat and so forth. Mistake is something else and sin is something else. So no sin, no vices. Yes, mistakes, we are human beings. So any person, you anbiya, prophets and messengers can also make mistakes. Nevertheless, so Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is setting the precedent for humanity and posterity to show them that the more you fast, inshallah, the actions of yours for the whole year will also be accepted, and is a preparation for Ramadan Mubarak as well. So inshallah Aziz, today between 8:30 and 9, Mufti Suleiman Ali, he is there in Pakistan, originally an American. Mona Zahid Khan will interview him inshallah Aziz. And thereafter, we must remember 11 to 12 is bliss of marriage, and 1 to 2 is a tafsir of the noble Quran. So Mona Salim, we have about half an hour mashallah left for the Q&A. So let's fire up inshallah Aziz.
Is it compulsory to read the two rakat after making optional dua?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Whenever a person performs tawaf. Tawaf means you go around the Baytullah 7 times. So that is one tawaf. Now the question arises, any time you perform tawaf, whether it is a first tawaf compulsory, like the one tawaful ziyara, tawaful ifada, Hanafis call it tawaf ziyara, Shafi's, Maliki's, Hanbali's call it tawaful ifada, so that is compulsory. Or remember like the Umrah one, which is wajib and so forth. So then you must read the two rakat salat, especially according to the Hanafis is wajib. However, if a person is performing, say, nafil tawaf, voluntary tawaf, and so forth and so on. So in a case like that, we must remember, let's say that person went right down the Baytullah 21 times or 14 times. So he or she performed two tawaf or three tawaf. And now, according to Hanafis, if she went around the Baytullah 21 times, so then 3 times 2. 2, 2, 2. If she went 14 times, then 2 times 2. So that is, you must remember, according to the Hanafis, and it's compulsory. According to the Shafi'is, and according to the Hanbalis and them, it is Sunnah. So remember that if you just read 2 rakats after 2-3 tawafs, so that also will suffice, and that also will be sufficient. You don't have to read 2-2-2. So if you just read 2 rakats for the 2-3-4 tawafs you made, so that also will suffice. So that is what you need to understand.
Mufti Sahab, can you keep dogs as pets? One, and number two, if a person is blind, he has a guide dog, can that person keep that dog to guide him around the house?
Remember, Islam is a religion and a solution for humanity from now and time of Prophet Muhammad Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam right till the day of justice. We need to break this up, you must remember, in different categories. We know South Africa is riddled with crime and corruption and so many other issues. So if a person keeps a guard dog, you keep it outside your house, you keep it in your yard and so forth, for security purposes, so ijma and this consensus, to keep a dog like that will be considered permissible. Similarly, you have a hunting dog. That dog, you take it for hunting, to attack the prey and so forth. There are certain conditions involved and so forth, but it's known as kalbe muallam, the dog that is trained for hunting and so forth and so on. So to keep such a dog also will be permissible. To keep a pet dog or pet puppy and is running around there, you sleep with it, you stay with it, it stays with you in the house and so forth. All that absolutely haram in Islam. Therefore, we see we have people like Trump, totally drunk and total haramis, and they are the biggest terrorists, one ethnic cleansing and to murder and just kill people, just like the Jutlas and haramis, the cursed nation. So they have the dog mentality. The dog is in front and they follow the dog. You will see it everywhere, especially amongst the non-Muslim and the whiteys. You must remember that in all countries. So that is the dog mentality. So therefore Islam says to keep a dog as a pet absolutely haram and not permissible at all. Open Bukhari Sharif, Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad. La tadkhulu al-malaika baytan fihi suratun aw kalbun. The malaika, the angels of mercy, don't enter that room or that house where there are animate objects. So what about the TV? Today they're showing everything, the fornication, adultery, gay business, and the alcohol, the wine, dine and swine. How can that ever be permissible? And then you get the crooked Maulana and Sheikh, and they on TV and telling people that this is permissible, Allah forbid. So there were lots of scholars for dollars, remember that, who have sold their soul to the devil. So remember animate objects haram, remember that. And O Kalbun, a dog you keep as a pet. So then every day your righteous deeds are decreasing and shrinking all the time. So that is absolutely haram. If it is a ruler and necessity and so forth and so on, a person is blind and then he uses a dog as a guide and so forth, so that's permissible. Likewise, you go to the various airports and so forth, or seaports and what have you, and you see that they have snuffer dogs and all that to snuff, you understand, for drugs or what have you. So obviously that will be considered as a training dog and what have you. So all that will be considered darura and a need, a necessity. So that will be permissible and acceptable. But dogs as pets and puppies as pets, absolutely haram and not permissible. Yes, you keep cats, you keep rabbits, you keep that type of animal, so that will be permissible, but not dogs.
Is it permissible to listen to the Quran and to follow and read along?
When the Quran Sharif is being read, so then what does the Quran say itself? The Quran Kareem states, wa idha quri'a al-Quran. So when the Quran Sharif is being read, fastami'u lahu, we need to understand the beauty, glory, style, diction, and rhetoric of the noble Quran. Almighty Allah states, when the Quran Sharif is being read, fastami'u lahu. Fastami'u means that you must listen, but listen attentively. You see that? That's the meaning of fastami'u. So you will translate it as fastami'u lahu. Listen attentively to the Quran Sharif. Why? Kathratul huruf tadullu ala kathratil ma'ani. The more letters there are in a word, the greater the emphasis will be. Wa ansitu, and remain silent. La'allakum turhamun, so that the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala envelope you and encompasses you. Surah number 7, chapter 7, Surah A'raf, and verse number 204. So therefore, if the Imam is reading, and now he's reading Surah Fatiha, Surah, and you reading also it, so that is not right. So therefore, the Hanafi say, you must remain silent in all the salawat, in all the samazes, salawatul jahriya wa siriya, loud salat like Fajr, Maghrib, Isha, and silent salat like Zuhur and Asr. Shafi'i say, you must read Surah Fatiha in every rakat. So how are you going to read it? You must read it whenever the Imam pauses, and in between you read it and so forth. And the Shafi'is, they say every rakat you must read Surah Fatiha. The Hanbalis and Malikis say, in the loud salat you will not read it, but in the silent soft salat, Zohar and Asr, you will read Surah Fatiha. So that is what we should understand when it comes to namaz and salat. Out of salat, you want to rectify your tajweed, you want to rectify and improve your recitation. So now you listen to a CD, you listen to a qari, it's recorded. So now he's reading and you reading, so that is totally permissible. Like how your ustad reads, and then you read after him and so forth. He reads for you, La uqasimu bihad al-balad. So you read after him. Any surah, this is example I'm giving, so that will be permissible. So we need to understand what Islam is teaching us for salat and out of salat as well.
Okay, so we inshallah will embark on a three-haram tour, tying ihram in Al-Aqsa. So how do men keep warm as we have to go through the Oman border and it's very cold there?
MashaAllah, I get so happy when I hear my brothers, sisters, children going to the three holiest places in Islam, and that is Makkah Mukarrama, Madinah Munawwara, Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. First and foremost, understand Umm Salama radiallahu anha, the honorable spouse and wife of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we say Umm al-Mu'mineen. And Umm Salama radiallahu anha qalat, she states, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man ahalla bihajjatin aw umratin min al-Masjid al-Aqsa, whosoever fastens ihram, therefore Umrah or Hajj from Masjid al-Aqsa, inside that 36 acres, you must remember that. So now is Umrah season, so the minor pilgrimage. So three glad tidings for those people. Ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi, your sins of the past will be forgiven. Wa ma ta'akhkhar, your future sins will be forgiven. Wa wajabat lahu al-jannah, insha'Allah, with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla wala, you will enter Jannah and Paradise. The hadith in Abu Dawood, and with Allah's fazl, Allah's karam, Allah's mercy, my wife and myself, we did that in 2002. So alhamdulillah, we know what you are talking about. The Rawi, the reporter, narrator herself, opened Ibn Majah, she went herself, and obviously she went with the Mahram and so forth there from Medina Munawwara to Masjid al-Aqsa, made intention there in Aqsa, and then she performed an Umrah. So we say, Al-Rawi, A'lamu bi murad al-Hadith. The Rawi, the reporter, understands the Hadith better than other people in most cases. We won't say in all cases, but many cases. So she practiced on it, she narrated it, and she practiced also on it. So therefore ulama have written that this is happening from Sahaba's time. Abdullah ibn Umar and others, they made Umrah from there and so forth and so on. So we must encourage that. So that's number one. Number two, for you the man, so now you take the shawl. You know the shawl that you wear over the ihram, totally permissible. On a lighter note, so I was coming down now. So my wife took out my shawl, and a white color one, you see, the day in Karachi we used to buy, you know, Mausaleem. So she said, take this. And she said, the wind is blowing. You know the woman, they're inside the house, but they know what's happening outside more than us, you know. She said, you better wear this when you go for the time, and because the wind is blowing. So I just said, Gigi, Jazakillah. You see, Jazakillah khairan. When we were young, our beloved mothers used to look after us. Now we married, so our honorable wives, they look after us, you see. So that is good. Whether I'm married or not, there's a separate story. I'll go outside and see how it is. So you wear all the shawls. So you, the man, keep your face open, keep your head open whilst you are in the state of ihram, but you wear like a blanket, you wear like a chali. You know the women and the men there, where we went, Botswana, Sutu and all these places. So you'll see many people wearing that blanket type of thing. So we used to call it chali in our shop where we used to sell it. Funalo chali. So that's not chali chaplain now, just chali. So that is permissible for you to wear. So when they say in the state of ihram, you can't wear this, you can't wear that, it means you can't wear normal clothes. But you wear a shawl, you use like a blanket type thing, totally permissible, no problem with that.
Officer, please advise on the best book that explains who Allah is and the meaning and understanding of His Mubarak names.
Remember, regarding the previous question, all of you who are going to Aqsa and thereafter you're going for Umrah or you're coming back and going to Medina and so forth, if you're going to Aqsa, so you, your wife, your children, so everyone take 50, 100,000, 1,000,000, whatever, zakat, lillah, sadaqah, and interest, whatever money you got, so make sure you take the maximum amount and you show your solidarity with the Palestinians. The Jutlas and the Jews and the Zionists must know, we will never ever abandon Palestine. We will never ever speak against Hamas, that they must give up the jihad. The jihad must continue. One settler, one bullet, that will be our stance. You must remember that. So that is what we are saying and so forth and so on. Oh, I didn't give the news, views and interviews, so I must do that now quickly. I'm wondering doing because Junaid Mota was missing a little bit. So anyway, so I must do that quickly now, so then you will understand why we say these type of things here. Okay, then I'll come back to that question about which book about Allah Ta'ala and so forth. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today is the 12th of Shaban 1446. So thousands of Jutlas and Zionists blocked the highway in Tel Aviv, and they say that the ceasefire must continue. Then Marco Rubio, another terrorist harami, he says Hamas cannot control Gaza. You and Trump and all of you can go to hell. How can you dictate to us who must rule Hamas, who must rule Gaza, and it's your father's land? So you talk nonsense, you know. Hamas, horse captive swap due to Israeli violations. Look at Israel. They cease fire there in Lebanon, and every day, second day, they're firing there. You look at Syria, they steal the land there, and they put up buffer zones. They stole the whole of Palestine, and now they want to get rid of them. Trump, trumpeting away, he says by Saturday, if the hostages are not back, all hell will break loose. You go to hell, man. So all you making yourself a donkey. You're a donkey as it is. Everybody knows how many prostitutes you slept with and what a felon and criminal you are. So remember that. He says that we will do this, we will do that. Remember, he's attacking his own media in America and so forth. He's making more enemies than friends. And remember that Trump says, according to his plan, the Palestinians will not have the right of return. Who in his right mind can accept a thing like that? We're going to bring back all 6 million people, Palestinians, to live who are there in the diaspora, back to Palestine. We should be very clear. And all these Jutlas and Haramis, you go to hell from where you came from. You got no place there in Palestine. Trump says if they don't take the Palestinians in Jordan and Egypt, then we will not supply them arms. Go to hell, they'll get arms from someone else. So remember that all the Israeli TV channels last night agreed on one point, that Bibi Netanyahu, the war criminal, is a serial liar. Every one of them was saying how he lies and so forth. But the donkeys will not understand it. Iran says the U.S. democracy is a fake. I agree with that 100%. Imagine the booksellers there in Jerusalem. They charge them for terrorism because they have Palestinian flags and they say they are inciting. Are you not inciting in your syllabi? Are you not saying kill the Arabs and curse the Arabs and so forth? The biggest war criminals and state terrorism is Israel and America. You must be a donkey if you don't understand that. And remember, look at Kashmir. Our worst enemies are the Hindus and the Jews, as enshrined in the Noble Quran. We never said every Hindu and every Jew, but we will say majority of them. Chapter 5, verse 82, the last verse of the six Jews. In Kashmir, the Muslims are protesting against Modi and his mega projects. Because why? They will be then stealing, occupying their farms and all the land of the Muslims there. And that is what they want. They get coaching from Israel and so forth. So the Arabia says, that is what they claim, that they are the safest country in the G20. Russia, the wheat export for Putin hits record high. So he is on a high, because remember that they have enough wheat to supply so many countries and continents of the world. Listen to this here. The Arab countries are waking up. Egypt gives permission to Russia. Yes, you can start drilling and start digging for oil here in our territory. So this is to show Trump, you go to hell. Remember, you don't come and dictate to us. Time magazine mocks Trump, and they said that the president of America is not Trump, it is Elon Musk. So imagine that, what a mockery they themselves are making of him. Rushdie is blind. Salman Rushdie, the murtad. If they killed him also, Islamically it will be justified. So remember that he is blind in one eye. So yes, he deserved it for the nonsense he wrote in the satanic verses. South African news quickly. So the DA say they will challenge the Expropriation Act in court. Toy soldiers South Africa has. Which the of time, and your Minister of Defense, another hopeless, useless, and NG. She doesn't know whether she's coming or going, so they're saying that South Africa is toy soldiers, and they're not there for South African interests. They're there for Cyril's, you understand, own mines and own assets there and so forth. Musk, you must remember Elon Musk. He claims that is what he said, Elon Musk. Malema is an international criminal, and what are you and your parents? Your parents left Germany to come live in apartheid South Africa, where you made money, and now you want to shoot your mouth. You are the biggest terrorists and haramis. Every forum could be charged for treason. You must charge them. They send envoys everywhere that we are being, you know, remember, oppressed and so forth. So the government should charge them for treason, and then just like the AWB, you know, Teddy for Blanche and all of them, what nonsense they to talk. So this is another extension of that nonsense, AWB, the AFRI Forum. So inshallah Aziz, we should know all these type of things here. Okay, Mohan, let's carry on inshallah with the news and with the questions inshallah.
Regarding this fatwa on marriage, a Muslim boy to a non-Muslim girl. The girl confirmed she is from the Ahl-e Kitab. The boy is involved and blind in love. Must the girl take the kalima, or is a person of the book is good enough? Would it be possible to get a voice recording?
Yes, live, you can listen to us, and we'll send out the podcast to whoever wants it. We don't hide anything, we are transparent. So 3-4 questions here. Number one, where can I learn more about Almighty Allah himself in the Quran? Go open chapter 112, the third last surah of the noble Quran. 4 verses I read for you. Qul huwallahu ahad. Say ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he Almighty Allah is one alone and unique. Allahu Samad, he is totally independent. He does not need anybody, anything in the entire universe and creation. Lam yalid wa lam yulad, he is not the father of anybody. He is not the child of anybody. He doesn't have parents, children, siblings. Nothing. He is one and alone and unique. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad, there is none equal to Almighty Allah, on par with him in any by respect, in any aspect, we must remember. So that is all Almighty Allah Jalla Wala introducing himself, and then you can see the commentary in the various commentaries and so forth. Regarding the Asma'ullah al-Husna, chapter 7 verse 180, Almighty Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَالْأُوهُ بِهَا, and Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, remember, has wonderful, beautiful names, and we must remember that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala says, invoke and call Almighty Allah by those beautiful names and so forth and so on, and in that way, inshallah, we enter Jannah. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif, man hafidaha dakhala al-jannah, who by heart it and memorizes it enters paradise. Hadith in Tirmidhi, you look inside and you read it, man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. So read it, wonder, ponder, reflect over every name and attribute, and you will see how much solace and peace you will get. Brothers, sisters, husband, wife, parents, children, fighting, rousing, ructions. Read Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud. Somebody is ill and sick, read Ya Salamu, Ya Salamu. So like that, it will bring about so much peace, tranquility, solace in your life. Regarding a Muslim lady marrying a non-Muslim man, totally haram, whether it's a Jew, Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, atheist. Quran Kareem, they makes it very clear. Chapter 60, Surah Mumtahina, verse 10. لَهُنَّ حِلُّ لَهُمْ وَلَهُمْ يَحِلُّونَ لَهُمْ. The Muslim lady can never ever marry a non-Muslim male, and irrespective of which religion, denomination, and cult he belongs to. So that's out of the question. Yes, he must embrace Islam, and then only can he marry the Muslimah, the Muslim lady. Can a Muslim male marry a Hindu lady? Totally haram. Hindu lady, Buddhist lady, people who believe in idols and so forth. Quran Kareem teaches us, chapter 2, verse 221, وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنْ. You can never ever marry people, ladies who are involved in idol worship till and unless they get married and so unless they become Muslimah, and then you get married to them. And regarding the ladies of the book, the Jewess and the Christian lady, so is it permissible or not? Chapter 5, verse 5, in this day and this age, not permissible. Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi, rahimahullah, I have his fatwa kitab, al-fatawa al-mu'asara, which I purchased there in Aqsa from the same bookstore, who they are harassing and so forth. So you must remember, this is the best fatwa of his. I've read in the Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi, ajada wa afada fi hadal maudu, that it is not permissible to marry a Jewess or a Christian lady. The adam is shurud, they don't fulfill the conditions. Simple question I ask you, you get married to a Jewess or Christian, what will happen to your children? They'll make all of them into Jews and Christians. Afala taqilun, have you got no brains? Go read Ma'ariful Quran, chapter 5, verse number 5, and see what Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah said. Ma'ariful Quran, original in Urdu, translated in English, both in 8 volumes. So for Arabic, read Fatawa Mu'asara of Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi, and Urdu, English, go read Ma'ariful Quran of Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah, who passed away on the 10th of Shawwal 1976. Haram, not permissible.
Mufti Sahib, can a girl live alone if it's within the musafir distance?
Not permissible. In Islam, you are 16, 17, 18 years old, you had an argument with your parents, you got a little bit money, or you are working, you say go and fly a kite, and you go live alone. So I'm asking you, who's got now supervision over you? How many boyfriends will come and visit you? How many boyfriends you will go visit? How many crooked girlfriends you will have, and so forth? Then remember, you want to go to the shop, you want to go here and there, you have to go to varsity, you have to go to work. You know South Africa is the murder capital of the world, is the rape capital of the world, and you go and live alone because now you are watching too much TV, you got crooked friends, and they told you, you must become independent. So remember, it's haram for a Muslim lady to go live alone, and when she's not married and so forth and so on, and you are just wanting trouble for yourself, Islam will never allow that. Remember, when you're not married, you stay with your parents. When you're married, you live with your husband, you live with your children. So that is what Islam will say. All this Western culture, you young and 15, 18, 20, I lead my own life, all haram, all that got nothing to do with Islam.
Mufti Sahib, does zakat have to be paid on old money that is not used currently?
Yes.
My grandfather left us the old 1 rand notes and pennies and shillings.
Yes, my daddy ma and nanny ma, they should give me one tiki. So if you got many tikis, so you must go to these people who sell it, you still buy it, and you sell it to them, and go to the best one and see how much they'll give you. So if you got the old one rand, that brown ones, you know, the note, or you got old coins and so forth, so yes, you can go and sell it, and then there's a card on it, you take the current market value, and you pay to 2.5%. Don't just leave it there. Then go and start making inquiries. Just Google old coins, old money, where to go, reputable, contact them, all that. And then you can take it to them and make sure you go to a reputable place and not some con man. You get too many con people and frauds today. So don't go to some Chunky Charlie and Charlie Chaplin. So you go to people who are reputable, and once you sell it and so forth, the money you get, 10,000, 1,000, 5,000, whatever. So on that, there will be zakat, 2.5%.
Ustad, the last question, what is the nisab of zakat currently?
So you work on 10,000 rand, that will give you an idea that is the nisab. Obviously it fluctuates, but remember we should not look for loopholes not to pay zakat. We should try and pay zakat. Let's say our zakat worked out to 1,700 rand. So if you are a true Muslim, then you should rather pay 2,000 rand. Why must you always pay more? Because Almighty Allah Jalla Wala taught us the virtues of it. وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن زَكَاتٍ تُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ Then for all أَكْرَمُ الْمُطْعِفُونَ When you pay your zakat solely, only for the love and pleasure of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, then remember that Allah will multiply it many, many fold. Go and read chapter number 30, Surah Rum, and verse number 39. And the extra you have paid will compensate for the deficiency of the previous years. How many of us, we never worked out our zakat properly in the past. Now we are conscientized. So many ulama giving us lectures and so forth. Jazahumullahu khairan. So many books are written and so forth. So always think about it. Don't be a kanjus and a makki juice, and don't be like the jutlas haramis. The jutlas said, Allah Ta'ala wants money from us. He became stingy. Allah forbid. Allah cursed them forever. Ghullat aydihim wa lu'inu bima qalu. The jutlas are the stingy people and the crooks. Wa lu'inu bima qalu. A khuya jud as a doya jud. A good Jew is a dead Jew. And ye aswa saynach. Nets was a jud. You are so stingy and miserly, just like a Jew. That was Afrikaans for you with the Tajweed. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.